Welcome to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast with Reverend Judith Ann Glass. For over 40 years, the prophetic ministry of Brother and Sister Glass have gone around the world bringing the living Word of God to multiply thousands of people. Get ready to receive a fresh message of faith and hope that will bring you into new dimensions of the love of God. You can be that overcomer God has called you to be as you behold Him, the Unveiled Christ, in all of His matchless glory. Listen now to the whole Word for the whole man to the whole world, ministered in the power and anointing of God's Holy Spirit.
You don't have any problem that a miracle from God can't solve, and God is in the miracle working business, and some of His greatest miracles are transforming His people into ambassadors for Jesus, that we can reflect the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the kindness that is resident in the very nature of our Heavenly Father and Jesus. And so for those of you who have been listening, I shared that because this is such a festive time of year, people gather together, and unfortunately, it's ripe for disagreements, for strife, frayed nerves, all kinds of stresses that occur at the holiday time. And basically, we've been going through what James has to tell us. And basically, how does this help us with others? It's just like he's coming down on us, on all of us. But as I was thinking of that, you know, the whole point of this is help us to get along better in our social relationships that we have, family, friends, coworkers. But all James is doing is picking on us. And isn't that just the way the Lord operates? He says to take the beam out of our own eye that we could see, to take the mote out of our brother's. He also says in his word that when a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. And so, as always, God directs his attention upon us that we can be pleasing before God, that He will deal with areas in our lives that are not acceptable or pleasing to Him or sinful. And then He deals with our enemies. He is able to do amazing things. And as I said, some of the greatest miracles, you know, we'd say, wow, if we could have seen the Red Sea parted, or, you know, Jesus walking on the water and Peter able to walk to Him, all these tremendous things. But the greatest ones, I'm convinced, are dealing with the stubbornness and rebellion of man. And even though those of us who love God with all of our hearts find, as Paul did, it is a real battle. And so let's go on now. We're in the fourth chapter of James, and he is saying in that second verse, I'll read the King James, ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, and cannot obtain. Ye fight in war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. What do we see in just this one verse? We see that he is saying there are evil desires within us. We lust after things. In other words, we scheme to get the things that we want. And this does not mean, in the context we mostly take it, in a sexual way. It can be regarding ambition, power, money. People lust after money. They want the power that it gives, or the pleasures that it can buy. All these things, or fame. It's a selfish ambition for things that we do not currently have. And there's jealousy. We're comparing ourselves to others, and God doesn't want us to do that. Each of us are unique and special before the Lord. And then there's malice. What is malice? Expressed in that one verse, well, it's desiring pain, injury, distress to others. How do you see that, sister? Well, you fight in war. War is about as you fight in battle. Other translations say you fight and you battle and you do not possess because you don't pray. You miss what you want because you don't ask God for it. You wrangle and fight. That's malice, wanting harm to someone else. And then, of course, pride. You have not because you ask not. Why? You're not praying, you're not asking God. Why? Because you think you can handle it yourself. You can acquire it yourself. You can achieve it yourself. And then let's go on to verse 3. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Here he's talking about motives. He's talking about selfishness here, that the thing that will give you pleasure. And it doesn't necessarily mean physical things. It could be emotional pleasure or that of ambition or mental pleasure. You know, you want a position or power or recognition, whatever it is. Everything that is part of our sinful nature. And, you know, it's what will give you pleasure. And basically, this is exactly how the world operates. They are totally consistent in wanting the big I and little you. It's all about me. It's all about what's going to please me. It's all about what I'm entitled to. Even the advertising, you deserve more. It's like, really? I mean, he is underlining in an uncompromising way and not very flattering of things that we actually do. This is our carnal nature unveiled, our carnal nature revealed. This is what, when the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. We all do things that cause us to sin, to fall short of God's glory. But wait, now, he really hits us now in the fourth verse. He now starts calling us names, beloved. Ye adulterers and adulteress, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? He says, other translations, unfaithful people, do you not know, you faithless wives, that to be friends with the world means to be at enmity with God? Let's go on. Whomsoever therefore will be a friend of the world, in other words, choosing to be friends with the world, is the enemy of God. He cannot make it plainer there. Takes his stand as God's enemy, turns enemy to God, makes himself an enemy of God, doth constitute himself an enemy of God. So there you have it. That's the thing that's so frustrating about Christianity. It's black or white. It's either or. You can't sit on the fence. There's no gray area. And this is the heart, the core of this epistle. Don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. And he talks about, he uses the term adulterers and adulteresses. He calls us names that we can relate to, because when we hear that, what do we think of? An earthly marriage. There is nothing of all man's relationship as intimate, as personal, as the marriage relationship. And God frequently is using that throughout the Word of God to describe his love relationship with his people. You see that all through the prophets as you read about. But he talks about the unfaithfulness of Israel, his wife. He betrothed her to himself. And he uses a very passionate, very powerful language, saying, you've got all kinds of other lovers besides me. Why? Because God is a jealous God. He's passionate. He loves us. He pursues us his way. Let's go on reading verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain? That, what do you consider this, an idle word of scripture? The spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy. What does that say? He's talking about the Holy Spirit, the spirit that dwells in our spirit. The Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God, lusts to envy. He's jealous. He resents anything that takes our affection away from the living God. The spirit that he placed in us jealously desires us. He yearns for the spirit to be welcome. The spirit which he has caused to dwell in us yearns jealously over us. The spirit which God has put in our hearts has a strong desire for us. He yearns, I'm reading different translations other than the King James. He yearns jealously for the spirit he set within us. The spirit which God implanted in man turns toward envious desires. He yearns jealously for the spirit he set within us. But he giveth more grace. Howbeit, he giveth greater fervor, and yet the grace he gives is stronger. Hallelujah. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Praise God. So his way, he pursues us. He is with us. He loves us, and he is in relationship with us. This is all in verse 5. And then we see in verse 6, what does it say? But he giveth more grace. God is patient with us as he seeks to transform us. And then when he does that, God becomes our focus. We can't serve two masters. Jesus said, James is just reiterating, you're either, you know, friends with God or friends with the world. You can't serve God and mammon, Jesus said. And so what do we see here? We have to make a choice. I said there are two choices. We either lay down ourselves, we're willing to humble ourselves, admit we're wrong, admit we're sinning, first and foremost, then we can deal in a godly way in other relationships, and we can be in such a place that we will be a light to others by the love and the forbearance and the long-suffering that we evidence. But God will become our focus, not ourselves. And that's the real issue. Two choices. Who's on the throne of your heart, beloved? Is it God or is it self? And I think all of us know that self wants to be enthroned. It wants what it wants when it wants it. But if we will choose the way of the Lord, we will know joy unspeakable and full of glory. Let me ask a question. I heard this from a preacher. I thought this was really, really great as I bring this broadcast to a close. If you were on trial for being a Christian, is there enough proof to convict you? What does the evidence say in your life? Ouch, huh? I told you this was not going to be fun. It was going to be painful, but oh, you must tune in tomorrow because there's good news at the end of this. There's reason to rejoice and to praise God that what we cannot do, you know, the flesh is willing, but it's the Spirit that gives life. In fact, no, the flesh is not willing. That's the bottom line. Except when we get submitted to God, then the flesh does become willing. That's what we're all aiming for, is it not? Well, God bless you. I bring this broadcast to a close. And with the Lord's help, we'll conclude this message tomorrow. And also, I do want you to know, I am praying especially for your family relationships, loved ones. This will be a time of restoration for you. Many have written, and just know that that's one of my prayer burdens. I love you. Till tomorrow, this is Sister Glass. May God's best forever be yours is my prayer.
You're listening to the Unveiled Christ to the World broadcast. Thank you for joining us. You're invited to write Sister Glass at P.O. Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. That's Post Office Box 577, Caldwell, Idaho. 83606 is the zip code. You're also invited to visit our website, unveiledchrist.org. You can learn more about Unveiled Christ there, as well as email Sister Glass. Again, that's unveiledchrist.org. And please remember as you write that your prayers for this ministry are greatly valued, and your tax-deductible gifts of support enable us to keep this radio program on the air. Thank you for joining us today. Until next time, God bless. Oh,